Turn now, please, to a great mission hymn, hymn numbered 13. I love to tell the story. Hymn numbered 13. May we stand, please, as we sing. May we stand.
Away places have become near places. Truly the world has come nearer to us as we have added to the 48 states, the 49th state of Alaska, and the 50th state of Hawaii. You see here before you their proud flags. To these flags they have added our flag, O Glory. And so as we welcome the representatives of these two new states this afternoon, we do it with open hearts. There are many things that I want to say about our first representative this afternoon, our representative from far away Alaska, up near the North Pole beyond the Arctic Circle. From Selawik in Alaska comes Mrs. Willie Johnson. She is an Eskimo, and I want to tell you that this is the first time that any Eskimo has ever attended a meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so she represents her people in many ways here today. Her husband, Willie Johnson, is also an Eskimo. And we just allowed him to come on the platform this afternoon because it is his first time to attend the Southern Baptist Convention. And so, Brother Willie Johnson, will you please stand up and let us see you. And thank you for coming. Last fall, three of our youth directors went to Alaska and met the Johnsons. They visited their work there, Miss Doris Duvall, Miss Betty Brewer, and Miss Elsie Reeves. And they came back telling us such wonderful things about Martha Johnson. Immediately, we felt that we wanted to have her come to this annual meeting and to tell us about her people, something about their future. And so as you come this afternoon, Martha, we want to pledge to you our love and our prayers as you speak and our continued support and love for your people, Mrs. Johnson.
I want to thank the WMU and the convention for making it possible for me to attend this meeting. And first of all, I want to bring greetings from the WMU in Alaska and the Baptist. And I'm so thankful for being here. I know the Lord had led the way for me to come. And let me tell you about my life, the way I was converted, the way I was living before is the way that my people are living and the way they live after. Seems like we follow each other's step as we become a Christian, or as when we are not a Christian. I need your prayer in speaking. I'm not very good at speaking. First of all, I was born near Nome, about 30 miles. And as I was growing up, that's the first time I ever had any vegetables or learned to like them. Our people have an awful lot of trouble getting to have their children have vegetables. They don't seem to realize that their children need them. And as I was growing up, as I was working, the people give me some vegetables, and I said, I don't know what they are, and I don't want any. They said it helped me to grow. And as I was working in various places, in homes and hospitals, I get used to eating them. And like all of our native people, soon as they get to like the vegetables, they start eating them. But it's hard for them to realize they need them in their body. And later on, my father moved to Anchorage with our family. There was the first time we saw a big city. When we landed at the airport and went through town in Anchorage, as my mother and I talked it over that night, we went to bed. We could see peoples and people walking along the street, and street lights rounding on our, inside our head while we're trying to sleep, thinking of them. And you know, within a year's time, that city seemed to get smaller. And I soon realized that there are some other bigger cities than Anchorage. And that was my first impressions of a big city. Most of our people that are in a village, especially the children and their wives, stay in the village most of their lives, and they don't know how it is to be out in the city. Some of them have been in a hospital. Some of them know what it is to see a city. Most of their husbands work in a cannery or construction, so they know how it is in a city, but their wives and children, only way they see the how the other part of the world live is through movies or in school like I did. We read our geography book and we find out that Eskimos live in igloos too in our geography book. Our first contact with the Baptist work is when it was new. That was about 7 years ago. I was a young widow at that time, and I had three girls, like a lot of our people and your people, I guess. When we are not a Christian, we send our children to Sunday school first. And after my girls went to Sunday school, the missionary, Baptist missionary, came and visited me. And each time as he visited, I promised I'd go to church. And each time I see him, it hurts me to know that I didn't keep my promise. And as I finally decided that I better make my promises good, so I went to church. As I went to church, as I heard the gospel, we have had the gospel for a long time, and all we needed was that somebody take an interest in us. And as I heard the gospel, each time I sit down in after church, after it was over, I felt I was getting tighter and tighter. I was uneasy, and I know I'm supposed to make a decision. I keep holding it back. And as each Sunday service go by, I felt more uncomfortable. I was under conviction. In April 1956, I walked down the aisle, and I gave my heart to my Lord. And I could see my mother and my preacher crying for joy, because they've been praying for me for a year. And I thank God that he made me realize that I was a sinner. And I see a hope in our people if we let them realize that we're sincere about their lives, spiritual life. And we've tried many other ways, but only way that we find out that we have to show them that we're concerned for their lives, each one. Our people has same kind of sins that you have, same kind of temptation, and each one has to come individually to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank God that he made me realize that I need to come to him. As I came forward, I told the preacher that I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Because somehow I realized that a lot of times, a lot of people hurt us, or sometimes they don't mean to, or they did something to us that sometimes is hard to forgive. You can imagine how when a person hurts you, that it's hard to forgive them, isn't it? But to us, when we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us. But sometimes to us, it's hard to forgive. You can imagine how much he loved us in order to die on a cross for us. After I became a Christian, I told the missionary that I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, anything. And I told him that I need to study more about the Bible. I need to learn how to live a better Christian life. As I told him that, he started this, Mike McKay helped to start this training school for the native people, to help our people, the missionary volunteers. I want you to pray for these leaders and teachers that we have in this training school to help our people, to help themselves. They are taking their time to teach us, and I thank God for each one. We studied Bible, Old and New Testament, music, religious education, and English and grammar. And we need your prayers for these teachers and leaders in this training school to help our own people, to help themselves. 2 years ago, we were appointed by the Home Mission Board to Selawik, Alaska. We were so happy that we could, I didn't feel like going because I feel like I didn't know enough, because I feel like I didn't have enough education. But after we've been up there and I realized that our people need Christ, they needed somebody to help them to learn to grow as a Christian, I found out that where God wants me to be. The people, we have 310 people up there. There were 315 when we were there, but 310 since we left. Our people in that little, it's about 90 miles from Kotzebue, inland, and they're more primitive than were in Nome and Fairbanks and Anchorage, and they're gradually going out of their customs. They're improving every year. The main occupation that they have is everyday living, like going dog teaming and go get fish, wood. They get their willows for their field and get water or ice. And one of our members went to a convention in Anchorage. When he came back, he told our people, for he was a Sunday school teacher, he said, "You know, the people in Anchorage have it easy because they don't have to haul water or get willows for wood." And he said, "They have it real easy. He don't realize that we have to pay for them." And I think he thinks he gets them free. I don't know. But you can imagine how they feel when they go into a big city and see the modern convenience that you all have. And they're improving every year. The school up there that we have will be up to standard in 2 years. Our people can understand English, except for very few old people. And my husband has another language, and I have another language, Eskimo language. They call them dialects. And the people that we serve have a different dialect. I'm glad we all can understand English. The people, sometimes Willie gets in a tight spot with an old people, like he couldn't understand them when they're trying to tell him in Eskimo. He comes and asks me to talk to them, and I can understand him half, and they can understand me half. My mother has a different, I speak my mother's language, and my daddy has a different language too, but somehow my daddy starts speaking my mother's language, and only time he talks my father speaks his own language is when he's sleeping. We have a doctor once a year, up where we are, and a nurse once a month, and Willie is in one of the nurse health committees that give shots when they're sick. They have health committees that take care of the ones that are sick. The ones that are emergency, they fly them in by plane. The only transportation they have is an airplane, a poor we are, and a dog team. We have the same kind of activities in our church, Sunday school, training union, prayer meeting, GAs and RAs. We have quite a trouble starting a training union. Like most of us, I guess, when training union first start, we didn't want to take part. We'd rather sit back and listen to somebody else. One of our ladies, when we first started training union, didn't want to come back for two Sundays because she didn't want to take part in training union. We went and talked to her, tell her that it would help her to be in training union, that she would learn something as she is trying to learn to speak. More and more, right now she's a faithful member in our church, in training union and Sunday school. And I think it has helped us more up there where we are timid, where we don't want to stand up, we'd rather let somebody else do the talking. I remember when I was a young Christian that a preacher's wife asked me, "You want to take part in training union?" I said, "No, I don't think I could make it." He said, "Try it one Sunday anyway." So she said she'd even write what I'm supposed to say. So she wrote it up, and I barely could read between the lines. I thought I was going to fall through the floor before I was done. But each time I realized that each time I got up, I got a lot better. Like I say, in the wintertime we go by plane and by car. In the winter, not by car, by boat. In the summertime, airplane by winter. In the summertime it lands by water. Wintertime it lands on the ice. Our people want to bring their greetings when they heard that I was coming. And I want to thank you all for your attention. I want to thank through your support that we have been able to, the Home Mission Board, we have been able to have living quarters in Selawik. We have a church in Kotzebue, Fort Yukon, Fairbanks and Anchorage, where our people can worship. We have Indians and Eskimos and Aleuts in Alaska, all different areas. We have all different climates in Alaska. We want to ask your prayers for our people, that we realize that our people need Christ as much as you do. And I want to thank you in my language, and in Selawik language. Kuyana is in my language, and in Selawik language is Kuyanakbuk. Kuyana Ukuksi.
Now, I wanted to tell you what she had on, but I forgot what she told me. And so I'm going to let her tell you, and then I want her to stand on this side, and over here you can see her. So, Ms. Johnson, will you please tell them what you have on?
I have a cloth parkie that we use at summertime up there against the mosquitoes. In wintertime, they use them with a fur line. And they're all colorful, and they decorate them as much as they can.
From the snow and ice of Alaska, we go to the beautiful tropical island of Hawaii, Honolulu, in the Pacific, to welcome our next guest this afternoon, the representative of Women's Missionary Union of Hawaii, the executive secretary, Ms. Itsuka Saito. I first met her as a college student when she came to Dodd College in Louisiana and then came to Baylor University. She traveled about in our state attending some of our youth camps and house parties, and it was my privilege to have a trip one summer with Itsuko to some of our camps. After attending Southwestern Seminary, she returned to her home in Hawaii, there to work with her people. And so this afternoon, we welcome you to this platform, Itsuko, and ask you to carry back to your people our love and greetings and continued support. Itsuko Saito.
Mrs. Mathis, you know that our lei is a symbol of the spirit of aloha, and the Women's Missionary Union of Hawaii has asked me to present to you and to Ms. Hunt these Vanda orchid leis. I'm sorry they lost color during the few days that they were on their way, but you can just imagine that they were the same color as the ribbons on these leis when they started off from Hawaii. That's Hawaiian style.
I want all of you to see this lovely Hawaiian dress. And she'll show you exactly the right way to do it.
This is called a holoku, and it's the formal wear of the women of Hawaii. We also have the mumus that some of you may be familiar with. They're the informal wear, and most of these dresses were originally thought up by the early Congregational missionaries who went to Hawaii in 1820. The women missionaries were quite shocked that the Hawaiian women wore so little, and so they designed these dresses for them, and we've adapted them for modern use. Now I have some more lace to present here. You know, Hawaii was so in hopes that it would be the 49th state that when the announcement came that Alaska had been admitted as the 49th state, we were having a fair going on in Hawaii, in Honolulu, called the 49th State Fair. Well, Alaska beat us to it, but to show that we don't have any hard feelings, and that we still have a feeling of love and aloha for them, I'd like to have Mr. and Mrs. Johnson come up to receive these leis. Several years ago, I met Mrs. Don Kim and heard her story, and I just marvel at the great love in her heart, she who had suffered so much at the hands of the people of the land of my ancestors, and I'd like to present one to her. And this leaves just one. And Mr. Claude Ray was a BSU summer missionary in Hawaii in 1949 and made a definite contribution there, so I think I have a good excuse to present him with one. Every day of my 12 years of public schooling in Hawaii, I stood outside the classroom along with all of the other students facing the flagpole, watching Old Glory go up the pole, and then pledging allegiance to the United States flag and singing the Star Spangled Banner. Little did I dream that in 1959 there would be a 50th star added to that flag and that that 50th star would stand for our own Hawaii. There have been many reasons and excuses why people felt that Hawaii should not be in the Union. One of them was the distance. But do you know that I flew across the Pacific several days ago, and it took only 4.5 hours by jet flight to go from Honolulu to Los Angeles. And actually, it's farther from Los Angeles to New York than from Los Angeles to Hawaii. This loveliest fleet of islands ever anchored in any ocean is just a tiny speck in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, but its population of over 600,000, with many more thousand military personnel, is larger than the population of Alaska, or New Hampshire, Delaware, Vermont, Wyoming, and Nevada. The land area is very small, but Hawaii's land area is larger than that of Rhode Island, Delaware, and Connecticut. For many years, we have felt a very definite part of the United States, and we have called this the mainland. Although